Edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin. I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. You guys can follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin. This podcast is available at MMAOddsBreaker.com and our YouTube channel. Please like, share, subscribe, tell your friends about it. Also, check me out at BJPenn.com and MMArings.net. A couple pieces of news today and a few fight announcements. Not a crazy amount of huge news or anything like that, but definitely a few things that are worthwhile talking about. And I'll start with Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier. They've been going back and forth, as we know, for like the last couple of weeks since the Poirier-Habib fight in Abu Dhabi, and it sure seems like this rematch is going to happen. That's the feeling I get, just based on what they're saying on Twitter. For Conor, it makes sense because he's already fought Poirier. He knocked him out in brutal fashion. It was at 145. It was a few years ago. Poirier is obviously a better fighter now. Conor, we don't even know how he's going to look when he comes back to the UFC, but I think it's a less risky fight than Gaethje, so I can see why Conor wants to fight. Not only that, but even though I want to see the Gaethje fight, and I think a lot of fans and media do, Gaethje doesn't want that fight. Like, he didn't even want to call Conor out after the Cerrone win, and he said numerous times he doesn't feel like Conor deserves a shot at him. So Gaethje really just seems like he wants to wait for the winner of Tony and Habib. And I think that's not the smartest idea because we've seen what happened. Like, look at Colby Covington, and I'll talk about it in a second here. But Colby's been waiting a long time for that title shot and hasn't got it yet. Even if you help the UFC out, even if you're an exciting fighter, it doesn't always mean you're going to get your title shot if you wait. So to me, Justin should have been calling Conor out and should be pushing for that fight, but it doesn't seem like he wants it. Poirier seems to want the fight. He wants the rematch. Conor seems to want the rematch. I feel like this fight's going to happen. So when will it happen? Maybe the end of the year, maybe early next year. Makes sense as a main event, makes sense as a co-main event for any pay-per-view, but I do feel like we're going to see this rematch between Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier. That's the feeling I get, and we'll see what the UFC thinks about it, but pretty clear that both fighters want this matchup, and again, for Conor, it feels like it's a safe comeback fight for him. That's probably the feeling him and his team get, and then for Poirier, it's a fight that, if he wins against Conor McGregor, it puts him right back in the driver's seat for title shot 155 and a rematch with Habib. So to me, it's actually a pretty good fight, and a rematch makes a lot of sense. So that's the feeling I get, and I feel like it's going to happen soon. I just mentioned Colby Covington. He's back in the news. He was speaking yesterday. He actually spoke to Kinch at BJPenn.com on the radio show, and he talked about the slave labor negotiations for the fight between him and Kamaru Usman. I mean, obviously that's exaggeration, but he made some good points in there, and you have to go to BJPenn.com. There's an article there. I think Tom Taylor wrote it. Colby made some good points, guys, and basically said that the UFC keeps their fighters on low pay contracts, so they have to fight numerous times a year to make a decent amount of money. And he's right. I mean, we all know that UFC fighters and MMA fighters in general are very underpaid, and especially for a guy like Colby, he wants to fight for a belt. He wants to be paid fairly. I can't blame him for staying his ground. Having said that, I don't know if it's going to work. I feel like the UFC just might move on. They've did this in the past. They've moved on. They've given title shots to other guys. Look at last year. Like, there was the issue with him getting the nose surgery. He wanted the UFC to wait for the Tyron Woodley fight. The UFC said, no, we need to keep fighting. We need to have Tyron Woodley keep fighting. And they did the Darren Till fight instead. So to me, you know, Colby's been waiting for this title shot for a long time. And now that he has that win over Robbie Lawler, great win. He did them a favor. He feels like they owe him something, but Dana White and the UFC brass probably don't agree with that. So I feel like Colby's going to have to take their offer, because otherwise I feel like they might move on to Leon Edwards or just wait for the winner of Masvidal and Diaz to take on Kamaru Usman for the belt either this year or early next year. At this point, it's September. Those cards are filling up really quick towards the end of the year. This title fight might be pushed till next year, which is really sad, because there's no reason this fight shouldn't have been on UFC 244, Usman and Covington, other than the fact that they don't feel that they're going to get paid for it, and the UFC is not giving them what they want. So it's unfortunate. This is the fight that needs to happen, but it really does seem like there's a big discrepancy in what Colby and Usman too, although he hasn't talked as much, but what the fighters believe they should be paid and what the UFC believes they should be paid. So I don't know if that's a bridge they can cross, and if they can't, then you have a guy like Leon Edwards, who I'm sure will take whatever offer the UFC gives him to get that fight with Usman. Habib Nurmagomedov's back in the news. This time, PETA, the People for Ethical Treatment of Animals, have come after Habib Nurmagomedov for the videos of him wrestling bears, which I think is kind of strange in a way, because these videos have been out there for years. I mean, he's been in the UFC since 2012. The videos have been out there the whole time. Finally, he's in the limelight, and now they're coming after him. So I think that's a little unfair. I mean, yes, they made some good points, for sure. I mean, the videos aren't the greatest thing to watch, especially if you're like an animal lover and animal rights activist. I can see why a guy wrestling a chained up bear is not the greatest look, but at the same time, that's something that's built into the Russian culture. I don't think there's a video of Khabib really like hurting the bears. He's just wrestling with them. Clearly it's helped him train his wrestling. I always thought the videos were kind of cool, to be honest with you. I can see some of their points, but at the same time, I feel like it's kind of unfair for them to come after Khabib now, after he's famous, after he's rich, when all these years they could have said something about this. So I'm an animal lover myself. I have two dogs. I love animals. I think PETA does some great things for animals, but at the same time, I think they're coming after the wrong guy here. I don't think it's completely fair what they're doing, singling out Khabib for this. But at the same time, though, again, I think they made some good points. I just don't agree with the way they came across on this. So definitely kind of interesting that Khabib's being targeted by PETA here, but I feel like nothing's really going to come out after this. I just feel like this is going to die down in a few days. It's going to move on. Anthony Pettis is back in the news. He's talking about wanting to fight Diego Sanchez, which is an interesting fight. Anthony Pettis obviously needs to get back on the winning track after that loss to Nate Diaz. It was not a good fight for Anthony Pettis. He didn't look good in the fight. He got wrestled. He got outstruck. It wasn't a great performance. Diego Sanchez obviously is a veteran of the sport. He's also kind of a guy on the downside of his career. He had a couple of good wins. Mickey Gallwin was great. He looked amazing in that fight, no doubt about it. But the last fight with Chiesa, not a good performance by him, and I feel like Pettis believes that this is just a fight that he can win. So I don't blame Pettis for calling out Sanchez because it's a fight between two veterans with names, but at the same time, I think it's kind of stupid in a way because Sanchez is not ranked either. He's like not even close to the rankings, whereas Pettis is still a top 10 guy at welterweight. Despite the loss to Diaz, he still beat Stephen Thompson by knockout. So to me, you do a guy like Anthony Pettis versus Jeff Neal or something like that. You give him someone that's on the up and up, not someone like Diego Sanchez, who's really a huge decline in his career and not even close to title contention or even the rankings at this point. Bellator signed Eric Perez, which is kind of cool. Eric Perez, we all know how much the UFC used to like this guy. It's crazy, right? Like, they go to Mexico all the time now, and he's not part of that, which is kind of unfortunate because at one point in time, he looked like the big thing for Mexico. He's 29 years old now, Eric Perez. His record in MMA is 19-6. He's actually on a five-fight win streak. He's looked really good lately in Combates America. Two straight wins there. And you know what's sad is he was actually cut off three straight wins at the UFC. I think there was a contract dispute as well. So it's unfortunate because this guy had a 7-2 record in the UFC. So that's not bad at all. And unfortunately, he was caught. He just couldn't come to a contract agreement. To be fair, it's not like he beat anyone great in the UFC. His best win would probably be Francisco Rivera or maybe Felipe Arantes, who's retired now. Both of those guys are retired, I believe. I know that Rivera tested positive. But at the same time, though, he did have some good performances there. Two losses to Brian Caraway, Takeo Mitsugaki. So he didn't really live up to the expectations per se because I think people thought he might be a future contender at 135. But at the same time, 7-2 record is not bad. And he still has the fastest knockout in UFC bantamweight history with that 17-second knockout of Ken Stone back at UFC 150. That was the Frankie Edgar Benson Henderson 2 card. So that was a long time ago. He still has that record all these years later. For some reason, again, the UFC just couldn't come to an agreement with him. And he's been fighting in Combates America the last 2 years, got two wins by finish, and it's just signed with Bellator. So that's interesting. There's obviously some pretty good bantamweights in Bellator. I'm not sure who he's going to fight next, but matchups against guys like Darian Caldwell would be kind of cool, or at some point even Horiguchi if that fight could happen. So there are some good matchups for Eric Perez. He's still on the right side of 30 at 29 years old, but we'll see what happens in his Bellator career. A couple fight announcements here to get to. UFC Moscow gets a really good welterweight fight. I like this matchup. Ramazan Ameev takes on Anthony Rocco Martin. Interesting fight for sure. Ramazan Ameev he's looked good in the UFC, man. And he's looked good in general. 18-3 record. He's 32 years old, actually. So he's a little bit older than you'd like for a prospect, but still a young guy, relatively young for that division. 18-3 record. And he's on a 7-fight win streak now. So that's really nice. 3-0 in the UFC. Beat Sam Alvey, Alberto Mina, and Stefan Sukulic. He has not fought in over a year now, unfortunately, because of injuries and stuff, and a couple of fights have been canceled. But this is a good comeback fight for him against Anthony Rocco Martin. And like I said, Ameev's been fighting for 10 years now, so he's been around a while, and it's time for him to really make that move if he wants to become a title contender, I guess, or a top 15 guy. Even I think he's close. I actually think he's close. Again, 7 straight wins, and he's actually won 15 of his last 16 fights. So that's pretty damn impressive. takes on Anthony Rocco Martin here. Anthony Rocco Martin coming off a majority decision loss to Damian Maia a couple months ago at the Junior DeSantos Francis Ngannou card. It was a pretty good performance by Rocco Martin. Unfortunately, he just started too late in the fight. He started coming on as the fight went on. So the third round was good, arguably a 10-8 round. But the first two rounds, he didn't do much. And unfortunately, he lost the decision, which was the biggest profile fight of his career. And he just didn't live up to the hype. So I think he's looked good at welterweight, 4-1 record. And this is a pretty good fight. But it's definitely not an easy one for him. Ramzi Emmi's a very well-rounded fighter. He'll be fighting in Russia in this matchup. You got to favor Emiev a little bit, but Rocco's look pretty good at 170. I wouldn't completely count him out of this matchup. He's definitely a solid fighter, and if he can learn from that Maia fight that you can't start that slow in your fights because there's only three rounds. If that was a five-round fight, he probably wouldn't have won that fight. But it was three, and he lost. So if he just starts a little faster, he could probably win this fight. So we'll see what happens, but definitely an interesting matchup between Rocco Martin and Ramzi Emmiev. And one other fight here, UFC Copenhagen gets a middleweight fight between Alessio De Chirico and Mahmoud Muradov. So that's kind of an interesting matchup as well. Alessio De Chirico, pull him up. He's 29, so he's on the right side of 30. He's 12-3 record. In the UFC, he's 3-3. So he's been kind of hit and miss in the UFC. Coming off a loss to Kevin Holland, a pretty close fight, lost the decision. Before that, beaten Julian Marquez in a split decision. And he has that knockout win over Oluwole Bambos, which was a really nice win. But the problem with him is he's only fought once a year for the last two years. So that's not good, but at least he's going to get a fight in at the end of this month. And again, he takes on Mahmoud Muradov. And I should mention that Muradov is filling in short notice for Peter Sabata, who's injured. So Mahmoud Muradov, he is 22-6 record. He is from Uzbekistan, 29 years old. Man, he's on a nice win streak here, too. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I think it's a 12-fight win streak, so that's really impressive, obviously. This guy is someone that I've heard a little bit about. I believe he does have an affiliation with Floyd Mayweather, and that's kind of interesting. But coming off a knockout win over Wendell Oliveira, who used to fight in the UFC, a couple fights in the UFC, fought Santiago Ponzinibbio, if I'm not mistaken. Yep, he did, yep. So and Darren Till, actually. That guy had a rough going. Fought Ponzinibbio and Till, so that's unfortunate. But that's a decent win. So he's going to take this fight short notice, obviously. But he's coming off a bunch of knockouts, actually three straight knockouts. And, nine of the last 10 wins are by knockout. It's pretty damn good. He has some experience, obviously. He's fought all over the European regional circuit. And this should be an interesting fight. The fact it's on short notice doesn't help. But at the same time, I think DeChirico is a beatable fighter. So this should be an interesting fight, very close fight, two European guys. That takes place in the UFC Copenhagen card, which actually takes place next Saturday in Copenhagen at the Royal Arena. And that should be a pretty good card. Jack Hermanson versus Jared Cannonier, Gunnar Nelson versus Gilbert Burns, OSP versus Michael Oleksiak. There's some pretty good fights on that card. Ian Kudalaba, Khalil Roundtree. Anyways, I'm going to talk about this card next week. There are definitely some good fights on this card, though. So I'm looking forward to that one. I like those European cards that take place during the day. I just feel like they go by quick, and there's usually some good fights. So that'll be next week. But, of course, this weekend we have UFC Mexico City, and I can't skip past that. Myself and Coach Sean, we did the breakdown show on Tuesday. We broke down every fight in the card, gave our picks for them. So that should be a pretty good card. All the odds are out for that. All 12 fights have odds for them. The props are out for most of the fights as well, so that's cool. I'm just looking at best fight odds right now, and actually it's kind of interesting. I don't know exactly who opened these lines, but most of the upcoming Bellator cards have at least one line out. So that's pretty cool because Bellator, unfortunately, they play second fiddle to the UFC as far as the odds makers go, so the odds come out so late. But the cool thing is now that at least they're coming out a little bit early. Like the Benson Henderson, Miles Jury line's already out. Juan Archuleta versus Patricio Pitbull, Musasi versus Machida 2. Those lines are out right now, so that's cool. Of course, Scott Larkin. Just wanted to mention that because I saw that the other day on Best Fight Odds and I didn't talk about that. So I think that's it for today's show, guys. I'm just going to double check and see if I didn't miss anything or something happened in the last 5 minutes that was announced. One other thing. Sarah Frota, she's a UFC flyweight fighter. She tested positive for steroids, so that's obviously not good. She's going to be out for a while, a couple years suspension, of course. But, she's not really a player. And you know what? The UFC might even cut her. She's not a great fighter by any means. So that's it. That's all I want to talk about today, guys. You guys can follow me on Twitter at @MMAdamMartin. This podcast is available at MMAOddsBreaker.com. Go to our YouTube channel. Like, share, subscribe. Tell your friends about it. Check me out at BJPenn.com. MMA rings on net, and it's been 1 year since we lost Kid Yamamoto to cancer. So rest in peace, Kid Yamamoto. Guys, I'll be back tomorrow talking about the latest in the world of MMA. Have a good one. Bye. Thanks, Marcus. I appreciate that, man.